This lower road was...
Well, through the swamp, it had to be a winter trail.
You didn't have the hills to go over. The old
road with the double ender was over Wickersham and up Snowshoe Roadhouse.
That's the way.
But now your heavy-duty freight, like the big boilers and whatnot, most of those were brought up from Dunbar, weren't they, on the flat, because they were too heavy to come over the hills.
That's the trouble. We're down about 60 miles, I guess.
Yeah, he went back and forth.
There's only one hill. It's not very...
They couldn't bring the heavy freight that way, so that was what opened your winter freighting on Dunbar.
Oh, we all put that on board so everybody could come this way, and it was only...
And I recall another thing. I see sitting down in the old town of Lavengood, or Brooks, or whatever you want to call it, the remnants of a little steam engine. And when I came here a good many years ago, they told me that belonged to Ben Falls, and he used to run an electric generator off of that, and that he ran a picture show for them, about once a week.
That's right.
And you had an old carbon arc projector, and you ran that down here in one of the halls. I don't know what building it would have been.
I had a big hall down there.
You had a big hall.
What year was that, Carl? What year?
I'm trying to get to the picture show.
Yeah,
he ran a picture show.
A picture show.
With a steam engine. He had to run out and fire the boiler and then go up and make sure the film was still going, and he had an old carbon arc projector.
Is that right?
I had the house full of time
every night.
Twice a week.
Every week, I think.
Twice a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
Twice a week.
Lots of people.
There were a lot of people.
Just Judson Dolphin. Summer came on, people couldn't get to it, but a little bit. But the picture show run all right, but I really didn't own it, you know.
Happy birthday to you.
This is your birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
I only allow my singing to record it.
Happy birthday, dear Ben. Happy birthday to you.
You have forgotten his name is Henry.
Bentley.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if you can blow out all those candles.
One for every 10 years, and there's one for four years over.
You got 9 of them there for 10 years apiece. Makes 90. And this short one here's for 4 years. But I hope it grows longer.
It'll go.
Well, that's quite a novelty.
And it says here, Happy birthday, Ben.
Oh, that's good.
Candy.
That's
it's a cake.
That's a cake. I didn't know that.
Well, you'll have to make a wish and then blow them all out.
Oh, that's funny. That's beautiful. How did you make that simple thing? You didn't make a picture. That looks like there was...
Don't burn yourself, Ben.
Ma'am. Birthday.
Ben.
Yeah.
Now, Happy is up here. Happy birthday, Ben.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, happy birthday.
You gotta blow them out, Ben.
Ben.
All in one breath. You gotta blow them all out.
Can I blow them all out with one breath?
Yeah, and you'll live to be 110.
Oh, wait till I see you.
My golly, he did it! He did it! Happy birthday, Ben.
That's great.
Well, see, I think that calls for a little drink.
I think so.
Yeah, that calls for a little drink.
Now, Ben, I think you should have a drink.
I could see that pretty.
Leave it up for a minute?
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, don't take a picture of me now.
Oh, no.
Sure, go ahead.
Why not?
It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
I'll send it to you.
She'll send it to you.
I won't show it to anybody else.
She won't show it to anyone else.
Well, I know.
I promise.
It's your birthday, Ben.
There you go.
School and happiness.
Well, I'm going to put a paper on my
darn dry.
Yeah, I know.
Getting pretty coy, you know, he covers that bottle up.
Yeah, give it to Carl first, going around that way.
Right, okay,
women's fine. Lib, you know.
No, I should tip it
off. Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
Close to your bathroom.
Mike?
No, I'll take it.
Can't take a picture of yourself.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Good for you.
Where'd she go? I'll set it here for her.
She must be coming back with something. Here she comes.
Oh, here she comes.
There's a knife.
Oh, Alaska has to have a little swing.
What birthday drink to Ben.
Oh.
Many happy birthdays.
Yeah.
Many happy ones.
You had a drink. We just all had a drink. Oh, say, look at
that. What a sneaky woman.
Okay. I'm going to have a cherry.
I haven't been to such a good birthday party.
Have a cherry chaser.
Yeah, pass them around.
I don't think I've ever been.
Well, we've all had cherries here. Cigars, he is just atrocious. Would you like a cherry?
He plays violin. He doesn't fiddle.
God, he's all those. I'll never eat all them cherries.
Thank you.
Oh, you eat all those cherries.
No,
you got to be a big fella. If you got to make 100, you got to eat them all.
You know, I would have to make them
down. Ben was washed.
They're all washed.
All this stuff
going, I'm fine.
Yeah. So right. They're all washed. I washed them all.
He's a reasonable amount. He'd appreciate it all.
Favorite fruit.
Are they? Good.
He doesn't eat.
Cherries is what I always liked. And we grow the miniature cherry trees down where I live. Old cherry trees, old time branches are way out, they're just loaded. And I guess they're still trimmed off and haven't took on
them yet. Did you get a picture of the cake?
Do you have any hobbies? I mean, what did you like to do best besides mine? Do you take pictures or do you hunt or?
He's done a little of everything.
Yeah, I was just I just wondered what he'd say.
Eat cherries like this.
Eat cherries like.
Ben was never one to sit around idle. Always doing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He loves to tinker. You can see all the equipment he's got out here.
Do you like to read, Mr. Falls? Do you like to read a lot?
I read all the time.
What do you read?
Well, I like I like really good reading. I don't want any
history.
Fiction. I don't history, right? But no fiction. Oh, sometimes I have to read it.
You've got Reader's Digest.
I have nothing else to read anything.
National Geographic, all that, things like those.
I read history. Or some papers, newspapers are very good. But I never read fiction. I don't think that's very good. I think it's better than
some of it's all right.
You know, I think a person who's to read fiction.
Well, I like mystery stories myself.
Well,
but I thought you liked cowboy stories. You progressed then.
If you have a good mystery story, it's probably invented by a storyteller that hasn't got no truth to it, you know.
Take pictures
of him. Would you say that? Would you,
so I
get the
person.
That gives you a clear feel. Would you think that you could write a true story is better than fiction?
Oh, truth is better than fiction.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Did you know the blue parka man? You remember the blue parka man that held up the stage?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Quite a bit about that blue parka man. I never did know who he was. But I was in Fairbanks when he was around.
Were you?
Oh, yeah. But it's true, he was around, he was holding people up.
Yes, yes.
I never did, but he never killed anybody, there's been no one. Mm-hmm. He'd been a desperado or something like that, but he thought about more of them, maybe.
Yes, yes.
But he was a desperate man, just the same. It takes a man with a pretty good mind and nerve to be a hold-up man.
Yeah.
I often thought, you know, that surely it takes lots of nerve for a man to be a robber, a hold-up man. He's no good, you know. In society, we should, you've got to put him away. You got to put him in jail or something. That's all he's good for. He's not allowed to be in amongst civilization.
Right.
Not according to law, they wouldn't let him be.
What was the closest call you ever had in, say, mining or boating? What would you say was your closest call? Did you ever...
Of your own life?
Yes.
I'd have to go think back of what I don't know if I ever had any very serious or never did think so.
Did you ever... Were you ever attacked by a bear?
Oh, now you're taking what I didn't think about a bear. I was talking about a bear human.
Or a human.
Yes.
But, you know, I never detected more. I never was beaten or licked or anything else by a human. I've always been able to save myself on that. But for a bear, I just went in and I just won at one occasion to be in contact with a bear that's pretty got me. But I was then in the Prospector, and I was moving across the country just east of Fairbanks and way over towards Circuit District. Before there was any road there at all, I was prospecting out there. This
one. Come in.
Ben, you know, there was something else.
He was just telling us.
Let him finish. He's just telling us that one story about a bear.
Here. Oh,
right.
You finished
yeah.
That.
Yeah. You were...
What are you?
Oops. Excuse me. I quit drinking beer.
It was here.
But you were over
in... I only had one experience of... he was not just a black bear, he was a grizzly bear. And it was over in the Beaver Waters, just up here, maybe 30 miles before you get over into that tributary. It's just this side of circle, divide. But you know where you go over, up the Chetney River?
Around the 12-mile summit?
Well, the circle's at the summit. Mm-hmm. It's this side of this into the watershed that divides that waters from the Beaver and also from the Toll of Anna here. And the Beaver... It was the water up in the head. It comes inside the big range and up through a canyon, and it takes in a large country all around. I was in that in the first summer I was up in here in Alaska. I went out there. We didn't know where there was any gold except Pedro Creek.
Did you meet the bear then when you were going over the summit?
Yes, I was in that vicinity when they... When I run into this here grizzly bear, he was not a black bear, he was a real grizzly. He was some distance, a little bit distance off me. You couldn't tell whether he was very large or big or what he was, a little distance. And I had an old man that was, he was nearly in his 70s, but he was still... Health and small, and he was with me, and he was the one that took me with, on account of me having a horse, you know. He said, we go out, he said, I think we'll find a good country. He led me into the Beaver Waters, and when we got in there, that water flowed out here to the Tanana. There's one outlet that goes to what they call the White Mountains, goes towards the circle. But on this side, I had just gotten over into the Beaver circle of hills that corralled all the water and had to throw them out towards the Yukon. And all these mountains are high on the, towards the eastern side of this big basin. It's about maybe 10 or 12 miles across.
Did you meet the bear then? Did you meet him with a horse?
That's the time I met the bear in that basin of the Beaver down there. The divide of waters had just come around and put that water down into the Yukon. The waters on this side is just... The Yukon... the waters of the Tolovana. The waters of the Tolovana waters are here now, heads up with them Beaver waters.
We better have some pizza.
And the Chattanooga waters goes out towards Fairbanks. That's one direction. The Circuit City, toward the Circuit City where it is. I'd never been over there to know that ground in that way. I've just been all around in this way.
Well, now, wait a minute, Ben. I'm just waiting to hear about this bear. I want to hear if you have a better bear story than I have. What happened with you and the bear?
Well, in this vicinity where I was at that summer, I had a man by the name of John Patterson, old Dawson man on Prospect. And I had the horse. That's why he got me to go. And I took the horse and went over and was in the Beaver River. Now it's just over. Just up in the
but what happened with you and that bear when you met him up there?
Why, that was, you know, unexpectedly. I was just going along with the horse, and the man that was with me, he was quite a little bit ahead of me. And all this once I left, seen this bear, you know, and I said, it didn't look like any other bear. It just looked dark and brown or whatever its color, but I couldn't tell. It was looked large to me. And I said, well, gosh, I said, there's the first bear I've seen now. I said, I guess I'm going to take a shot at it. My partner, he was not ahead of me, he was behind me. He must have been 500 or 600 feet behind me, coming along. And I took a shot at it. And you know, the bear made one run for me, straight as he could jump, as he go, and he thought it was... And I had the horse behind me some distance. I was ahead. The horse was generally following me, and my partner was still behind him again, coming up, not looking to see or anything, and I fired the shot. And I wounded the bear, I hurt him. And he seen me, he made that regular bound of fat, swimming through the brush, and he was coming. And I knew he was coming, but he was some distance, you know, way, I would say 1,000 feet or something like that, but he was coming. And I seen he was coming for me, and I started to shoot. I started to shoot maybe a little too soon. I was going to be out of ammunition in the gun, and that needs to have to reload again. And I wanted to be sure I'd stop him. I wasn't stopping him. And then I was coming closer, closer, and finally he went down like that. And he was so close to me that my partner says, he came up behind me, he was coming up behind me, says, I says, well, I says, I guess it's dead now. He's down, you know. He said, shoot him again. He said, I told me not to go near him. I said, Patterson was an old man in his lifetime. He was an old-time hunter and miter. And the bear had fell, you see, and he turned down, and you could see into his back and here and there was quite a little ball of fur lash sticking up. I just went off, I don't know how far, maybe 500 or 600 feet. Oh, it wouldn't be that much. I don't think so. I would say how far it is halfway between here and the road.
No, about 150, 200 feet maybe.
Well, it was quite a distance. And I fired my shot. I shot him and they went down. Tumbled over and went down. And my partner come up, he was an older man, and he was 60 when I was about 30. And he came up and I was going to go up to him. Oh, wait, he caught up to me, and I went to walk up towards him. He said, don't go near him. And, of course, he probably had more experience than I had. So he said, don't go near him, because two or three times. Oh, I said, he's dead. I said, daughter, don't go near him, he said. He insisted that I didn't. Well, he said, shoot him again. Well, all right, he was quite... I wouldn't say maybe 500 feet or something, maybe like that. It seemed quite a little disappointing. I didn't think there was any danger. But I shot him again. And he jumped up and it started to come right for me. And I beat the beat line. And he was coming. He was going like that. Well, you know, I was trying to get a shot in, you know, I had to get two or three more shells I had in the gun. And I shot all three shells, and I was digging for my pockets where they put some more shells in the gun. And the last shell slowed him down. But he was right close to me, I'll tell you what.
What did the horse do?
Oh, he was right up to me. Mm-hmm. He'd come another 50 feet ahead of me, too. That's the kind of thing you never know. They're hard to kill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't be sure, or you can't hit them in the heart or in the head. You hit them anywhere you like, and the more you wound them, the harder he comes for you. And they do come right for you, to believe me. I'd have lost my life if I didn't had that ammunition left in my gun. But the ammunition that I had to put in there was three shells I had in my pocket. I don't know, I shot three or four of them out of the gun. It was empty. It's one of them old 30-40s you don't have an automatic you can get now, you know. And that was pretty close to me, and they was coming for me, but it was as fast as they could come. And I don't know why I didn't fall before the last shot. But you know, the last shot, I didn't even then stop him. He turned off down the hill. I don't know, I was trying to follow him. He turned off the hill and he went down and I never did find him. I thought maybe I should have shot him and he died on that up for it. Too far away from me. Yet.
I wouldn't be curious about that station.
No, that's not.
But you know, the thing is to know what them savages, what they'll do. If you injure them, if you injure them and a shot, they're liable to kill you if you don't kill them. Yeah.
Shucks, I'm even afraid of squirrels, Ben. I'd never think of shooting a bear.
Well, that's the only time in my life I quit a gun.
Were you ever in a shipwreck?
Me?
Yes.
No. I was away to sea for 7 weeks. One of the Empress boats to leave out of Vancouver. There was supposed to be a Navy reserve ship. But I had got the job being a sailor. I don't like sailors. Oh, they're the worst talk of people I ever heard. Do you ever talk to sailors?
No, I don't know. They're not attractive to me.
You say, bloody this, you know, and bloody that. Not a word could they say without and the bloody this and the bloody that.
Ben, there was one thing that...
That's the way they talk. Every word is bloody this.
There was one thing...
That's the English sailors. I don't know what the word is.
Must be those Canadians.
Not a Canadian ever talks that way.
No.
No.
There was one thing that we mentioned briefly and kind of forgot about, Ben. And that was when you got married, when you and Annie got married. Now, you'd been up here and you were old friends, of course, schoolmates, I guess, from back home. And you told me you met her in Seattle. You went out from here then to meet her in Seattle to get married? Was that sent for her?
Yes, we were married in Seattle.
What year were you married?
She was engaged to be my wife many years. That I should have been home, but I didn't get home. And then, of course, we had to make it. Anyway, she comes from me, as far away as, you know where Toronto is?
Yes.
Well, we lived up north of Toronto. It's all pretty country there, all beautiful land, everything trees. Nothing but trees and fruit trees, the oldest part of America.
What year were you married?
Well, you know, I have to check on myself. Not many years ago now.
That was after, though, you had come to Livengood and you were mining here when you went out and married her, didn't you?
I believe it.
Yes, I know it was, Ben. That was after you worked down here.
Yes.
And that's when you went out and met her in Seattle.
That's right.
And I can't call the year. If you can't, I can't help you much.
But well, you're pretty good. If you're better than I am, I don't have no memory like that.
Were you married in a church in Seattle? Or by a minister?
By minister.
By minister.
No, by magistrate.
I see.
I know. Mm-hmm. Magistrate, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
Well, you brought Annie here as a bride to Livingston.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I know that.
Oh, I had her first retard when I was home.
That's nice.
Oh, I had a horse and buggy, and that we didn't have no cars or anything like that, but we went around and our Sundays were all spent on the road or some place. But I had a real wonderful wife, you know. She was really intelligent and educated, too. But same age as I was about that. I got to go on a jetsu picnics and one thing or another, that, and her brothers and sisters all knew me. And the funny part of it was, I used to fiddle a lot of times when her brother used to be a caller. And he don't only call them what quadrille dance, and boy, they just like that dancing. I could play a different tune all night. And if I tried to change every tune or every tune, but I had so many tunes in my head, I could give them a different one every night. But his her brother was a caller. He'd called for the quadrille dancing and beside the waltz and the shadows. And we used to have lots of nice dances in the country. No drinking or anything like that, just a social fancy dance.
And chasing the girls.
Yes, but you would.
Did you used to play with Vic Durant at Olness?
I said that again, please.
I was wondering if you ever played with Vic Durant. Remember when Vic Durant used to play? Probably not then. He used to play at Olness in the early days of the Olness camp.
You mean Olness camp?
Yeah.
Oh, I never played any for dancers in Alaska.
I see. Oh, I see. You never played at all.
I played the fastest tune you ever heard and then let a big time go.
Ben, you used to play a little in Livingood once in a while.
Well, I never play it now. I got to fiddle down in there. But I could.
I'd love to hear it.
I could play your tune it. Even now.
Yeah, I'd love to hear you.
Well, I know I don't let him tune it up. But sit back in there. Carl, if you want to get me, I'll give you a tune.
Yeah. All right.
I'll show that there.
I'll hold you here
when
you reach over here.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you're better. What's your music you generally like?
I like any kind of music.
Anytime.
Do you call yourself a fiddler or a violinist?
He played the violin.
I play a fiddle tune.
You fiddle.
And a fast tune if you wanted or any other tune, but I don't play the thing. Yes. I haven't played it for years, you know.
I'd
love
to get a picture of you with that, too. Yeah. Yes, wouldn't that be
nice? I want to make good my word. I'm not talking through my head. I tell you the truth.
I bet you're not. See?
Another tune.
Just huck it out of the way before it gets sad.
What was the name of that one?
You know,
was that a Scottish piece?
You know, wait a minute.
Jack?
What do you know? What do you got a piece? Have you got an old time tune?
Put on your old gray bonnet.
Old gray bonnet.
With the blue ribbons on it and the blue rock thing.
How does it go? I know it.
Forgot about this. Scottish one, it's gotta be.
does it? Good for you.
That's
wonderful.
That is. Yeah.
Those sound like Scottish tunes.
Yeah,
I
heard
you
play
before, but we're both drunk at the time. It didn't sound so good.
You know what an old time fiddler used by? An old time fiddler that. It once would.
Bring out how his ears
asked to play for a tune, play a tune, and he didn't have it so tuned up, and he didn't. He was a good player, but for some reason or other, there was out of tune, and he didn't accommodate the audience, and he took it and put the phone jumped on it.
This is beautiful. Was this made in Toronto?
Working for him, he'd had it. Oh, I don't know how that I had it many years.
Beautiful.
What tune do you know?
Well, what tune do you know?
How about Nellie Gray or something?
Good, like that. My darling Nellie Gray.
How do you start it?
See, I don't know. They've taken you away. That's good.
I can't know.
Great.
You're real good.
I haven't got the ear. If I wasn't, if I was a little practice, I'd save a lot of that screechy stuff. I can't play it.
Well, by God, I'll tell you.
Very good.
I've listened to people practice.